This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Fueled in part by recent best-selling books that warn of the evils of gluten in our diets, a significant portion of our population is now either avoiding foods that contain gluten or eliminating gluten entirely from their diets, and these numbers continue to grow. But is this gluten sensitivity a new epidemic? Or is it myth? Well, joining me by the telephone to help answer these questions is Dr. David Nash. He's a clinical professor of medicine at Upstate Medical University. Hello, Dr. Nash. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Dr. Nash, you've just published an article in the American Journal of Cardiology suggesting that much of this information on gluten sensitivity is hype. Can you explain why you assert that?
Yes, there's a book written by Dr. Perlmutter, which includes 38 different diseases or symptoms, including diseases as diverse as autism, infertility, schizophrenia. And he says basically that a carbohydrate diet causes this. And he also asserts that a low carbohydrate, high fat, high cholesterol diet is ideal for those afflicted.
So let
now,
me get this.
Now, there is a disease called celiac disease, which have been known for hundreds of years, and they should avoid gluten.
Right. Let me just get this straight.
They're very rare.
This book that you're asserting is called The Grain Brain, and it's by Dr. David Perlmutter. And in it, he's listing dozens of diseases and symptoms that he thinks that are all related to gluten sensitivity. And in addition, you're saying he's asserting that, in fact, a low-carbohydrate, high-fat cholesterol diet is ideal, as opposed to this high carbohydrate or gluten-filled diet. And that really seems to run very much counter to a lot of the medical evidence that we've compiled over the last several decades.
Yes, you're entirely correct, Linda. As a matter of fact, there's a recent article in the magazine, medical magazine, Consultant, which shows that people with a high meat diet and saturated fat are more likely to develop congestive heart failure. There's also the great studies in the Mediterranean diet, which has very little saturated fat and meat in it, and those people have less memory loss, less vascular disease, that's atherosclerosis of the heart and the brain. And in fact, if you eat less than 5 or 6 fruits and vegetables a day, you're doing yourself a disservice because that does seem to increase longevity. Now, they don't have to be wheat. These all have carbohydrates. All fruits and vegetables have some portion of carbohydrates.
So you did allude to the fact that there are people, and we know that, who have what we call celiac disease. Those are people who are gluten intolerant. Gluten is a protein in wheat. And they really will suffer from malabsorption because they can't absorb that protein that's in the wheat. So they really do need to restrict the wheat in their diet. But this whole notion of gluten sensitivity is more of a kind of gray area, it seems to me. And from what I'm seeing, well, why don't you tell me, how big an impact currently is this trend having on our country in terms of people avoiding gluten?
This is very popular. It's also very good for the bottom line of Publix's grocery stores. Wegmans has a whole division of it, and these foods that are gluten-free are more expensive. Now, if one has true diagnosed celiac disease, it's worthwhile, and there is a significant improvement in these people. Okay. However, if somebody has congestive heart failure or significant heart disease, and then you put them on a high-fat, high-cholesterol diet, you're doing the patient a disservice. For example, a recent study with multiple coronary angiograms, that is taking a picture of the heart with the specialized equipment, has demonstrated that you can actually take people who have a high cholesterol and atherosclerosis, narrowing of the arteries, and reduce the narrowing, that is, open the arteries more, with both diet and low cholesterol drugs. Now, he is encouraging people who he has not examined the angiograms of to increase atherosclerotic intake of high cholesterol diets and high saturated fat diets.
So therein lies the rub. It seems to me that's your major concern here. even more than some of his claims of, you know, a wide variety of symptoms that you can accrue by eating celiac gluten in your diet. I think what I'm hearing you say is the biggest concern is that he's advocating people to have a high cholesterol, high fat diet. And he also suggests that there is no correlation, or that it's a fallacy that there's a correlation between higher cholesterol and higher cardiac risk.
Yes, I know that. It's also true that every major change in our diet carries with it the possibility of unforeseen risk. These are foreseen risks in this case because we have decades of data about atherosclerosis. And I think that medical, many readers and the physicians in general must speak up about the additional risks of the gluten-free high-fat bandwagon, because they're going to be disappointed when their symptoms are not mitigated, but they may have, in fact, other diseases or other illnesses that are more important. And these are proven by a number of published studies. Bernard has studied this, as Dr. Seri, S-E-R-I, and that was from the National Cancer Institute. So there's a Oriental publication by Wang, and he says fruits and vegetables reduce your risk of mortality. So it's pretty good stuff.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen, here via telephone with Dr. David Nash. We're talking about this new gluten sensitivity craze. So you've alluded to the fact that you think the medical community needs to respond. What should be happening?
Well, I think the first important thing is education, which is why I spent the time and energy to write and publish an article, as a matter of fact, two articles, one in the American Journal of Cardiology and the other in the Baylor Communication, Baylor Medical Center. But I think that what doctors have to do is say, we'll test you, and if you have celiac disease, I would be enthusiastic about getting rid of the gluten in your diet. If you do not have celiac disease, but let's say you have a mild depression, I would suggest exercise, treatment for the depression, and maybe seeing somebody who can help you in some other format other than just giving up bread in the diet. You have to realize, Linda, that bread has been part of human intake since the Tigris-Euphrates Basin, which was the place where civilization began and where people began to not only grow grain but make flour.
But some of the assertions in some of the books, and I know there's another very popular book that I've come across called Wheat Belly, that talk about the fact that we have genetically modified our grain, and so the current bread that we eat doesn't really resemble the bread of ancient times by far. I mean, do you think there's any validity to that concept?
To a minor extent, but let me remind you that it's not the bread that gives you the obesity, it's the lack of exercise and the amount of bread. Bread is a perfectly normal food. There are people who are intolerant to any type of food. Raspberries, fish, any number of things can cause allergic responses. But to damn an entire industry and say that it's due to carbohydrates, when there's documented proof in studies, double-blind placebo-controlled studies, that if you eat 5 to 6 fruits and vegetables a day, you have a lower mortality. And there's, you know, one good thing about mortality is that it's a very significant endpoint, and most of us would like to live longer.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about an endpoint like you feel tired or depressed, that's not a very significant endpoint because that has many, many areas of medical knowledge which can be the cause of depression.
You know, you write also that, I'm going to read by a quote, those jumping on the gluten-free, high-fat bandwagon may be disappointed when their symptoms are not mitigated. More critically, they may be, they may be an increased risk for other more dangerous ailments. So I think that's kind of sums up your greatest concern here by his advocating or people advocating to eliminate the bread and gluten in a gluten so-called sensitive person, they will go ahead and increase potentially the fat and cholesterol in their diet and then run the risk of some of these other very more serious illnesses.
Yes, and I think when you say, why do I publish something like this, I think that medical education has improved to the point where the average person today in the United States is much more medically sophisticated and much more knowledgeable than in the past. And Linda, let me just say as an important final remark, medicine has done a wonderful job in extending our lives. In 1900, the average age of death in this country and in developed societies was age 40. A young woman born tomorrow morning in New Jersey will have an average lifespan of 90.
I know, that's a stunning fact. Astonishing.
And it's not related to gluten.
So one last question about this. There is, some people do experience, when they cut out gluten from their diet, a remission, or they feel better, let's put it that way in quotations, off gluten. What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, most people who eat organic food will say, oh, I feel better. I'm doing the right thing by society, and I'm avoiding manufactured foods. But the scientific proof that organic food prolongs your life or has reduced sickness, I have not seen in double-blind placebo-controlled trials. Now, they're not the be-all and end-all, but there's nothing better.
So the point now is, you're saying there really needs to be some research underpinning these assertions that are, in a sense, moving 30% of our population in a certain direction, with obviously a lot of economic ramifications to all those industries that are developing these gluten-free products. And what you're really saying to me is the medical profession needs to stand up and say, show me. Or not
actually,
to show me, actually have them show the truth in some way.
And I think that the simple answer is this. If we could show that organic foods really do prevent disease or reduce the risks of early mortality, I'd be all for it. But I know of no good published study in the English literature worldwide and globally which says that people who follow an organic diet will live longer.
But how about a gluten-free diet? We're running out of time, so just answer that. I mean, we have nothing.
I don't think that there's, with the exclusion of celiac disease.
Right.
I don't see that there's good scientific evidence that it prevents things like chest pain and the other things that Dr. Perlmutter mentions in his book. And how can a diet free of gluten prevent schizophrenia?
Yeah.
If that's the case, I'd outlaw bread.
It's fairly far-fetched, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all this very, very thought-provoking information. And you've raised some very crucial questions. I think it's really a great contribution. So thank you so very much. My guest has been Dr. David Nash. He's clinical professor of medicine at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks so much. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.